Your Bibles this morning, turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Between now and the end of the year, I'm going to preach a little more detailed on the purposes of our church. And, of course, the purpose of the church also would go back to the purpose of us as individuals to end the Christian life. But they're up on the wall, loving God, growing together, and serving others. We're going to save the third one till the first of the year. But today I'd like to just cover again a little more in depth, as we did back in March, on the first purpose up on the wall of loving God. Acts 2:41, familiar passage to many of you. We use this verse a lot in dealing with new converts. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for all that You've done for us, the blessing of the week. And Lord, we're looking forward to this new week. And we pray, God, that You would just help us this morning, that You'd hide me behind the cross. Again, we would see, again, such the importance of loving You as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about Acts chapter 2, we cannot move on unless we think about what happened in Acts chapter 2. We see that 50 days after Christ had risen from the dead, that Paul stands up and preaches here on the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem, preaches to this great crowd of various people from various parts of the world. And as he's preaching, he says to them, "Hey, you crucified the Savior." He points that out. You failed to witness or failed to believe the Holy Spirit's dwelling and the Holy Spirit's actions during this special day. And so you have missed it. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He preached the gospel to them. And the Bible says after he had preached, the Bible says those that got saved, those that gladly received his word, were baptized, and then they were added unto them. That "them" is the church, by the way. As we think about this morning, the purposes of the church, the purpose, and these again in turn will follow along with what us in our Christian life, that we exist this morning to love God. We exist this morning to love God. The Bible says we are created. We were created for His good pleasure. I mean, why did God create us anyway? I mean, He's God. He can do anything He wants. God created us for His good pleasure. We are here this morning. We exist to love God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 makes it very clear that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might is the commandment of God. In Matthew chapter 22, some lawyers came to Jesus and asked the question, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment in the Old Testament?" And Jesus said to the lawyers, He said to that crowd, He said, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself." Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In Mark chapter 12, in verse 30, the Bible says, and Jesus said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do you love Him this morning with all your heart? I mean, do you love Him with all your will and your emotions? Do you love Him? Do you love Him with all your soul, the very fabric of your being? Do you love Him? Do you love Him with all your mind, that part of you that has the ability to reason and think and make a conscious decision? By the way, I'm glad God created us as free moral agents. I'm created with a free will. I'm not a robot this morning. Amen. In salvation, He's given us a choice. Accept Him or not accept Him. And we have that right. We have the free will to choose. I'm glad this morning I was created with the mind. Do you love Him this morning with all your mind? Do you love Him? Do you love Him this morning with, the last one is, all your strength? Do you love the Lord this morning? In our Christian life, we are to grow to love the Lord more. The greatest illustration is marriage. As you think about your own marriage, and some of you married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, there's no doubt if the marriage is what it should be, that you should love your spouse more today than you loved your spouse 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it is. As that relationship develops, the relationship grows. If it don't grow, it does bad stuff. If it don't grow, it withers and dies. And how many of you have witnessed other relationships? You've noticed and you've witnessed them shrivel up and die. Can I tell you the same thing can happen in your relationship with the Lord? That relationship with the Lord, I got saved at the age of 6 years old, and my relationship with God, it should be growing. It should be progressing. It should be going forward. It's called sanctification. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but we should be growing in the Lord. We should be growing as a part of that love for Him. My love for the Lord today should be stronger than it was yesterday. My love for the Lord should be stronger today than it was 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, or 20, or 30, whatever the case is. I've been saved now 31 years, and my love for the Lord should be stronger today, and I'm so glad that it is. I'm glad today I love Him more than I loved Him yesterday. And you think about it for a moment. Your spouse loves you more today than they did 20 years ago. Why? Right? Why? Is it because you become better looking? Is it because you become prettier, you know, over the years? I'm not so sure that's the case. No. It's nothing to do with the way you look. It has that to do with everything about the relationship you have with one another. It has to do with everything about getting to know one another more, to get to know one another better. I know more about my wife today than I knew about her when we got married. It's the ability to overlook some things. Hello? Amen? Come on now. Everybody wake? It's not time to pray. It's the ability to overlook. Love hides a multitude of sins. We know this is a biblical principle that we as married couples have to overlook some things and be able to live with someone and learn to love someone who's not perfect. By the way, look in the mirror, buddy. We all have our quirks. That's my new word. Some of you have heard me use it before. We all have quirks. But as we grow in our relationship, in our marital relationship, that growth is nurtured by love and selfless giving and so many other things. Talking and communicating. Can I just again remind you that communication is the key to marriage? To be able to communicate and talk to your spouse without fighting doesn't mean you can't raise your voice from time to time. That happens. But you'll be able to communicate with your spouse without storming out of the house, right? Everyone with me? We're just kind of diverting a little bit, getting a little marriage talking here. We all need it. Communication. Can I tell you the key to the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is communicating with Him? It's developing a relationship with Him. Again, Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. Religion means a set of rules. Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship. That Jesus Christ, our Lord, desires a personal relationship with us. He desires a personal relationship with you. And the only way for that to take place is for you to spend time with Him. And the only way for you to succeed in your marriage is to spend time with your spouse and get to know your spouse more. If you work 18 hours a day all the rest of your life, you and your spouse will grow apart. You've got to spend time together. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And we are to grow in our love for the Lord. Why should we grow? We spent some time on this on Wednesday night. Why should we grow in our love for the Lord? Why should we grow in the Lord? Why should we grow? What's our motivation for doing so? Can I tell you there's two motivations? We discussed this on Wednesday night, went over it, and that is fear and love. Fear and love. As we think about our motivation as parents in dealing with our children, a lot of times we deal with our children, especially when they're smaller, we deal with them out of fear. In other words, we tell them, if you touch that, it will burn you. We, you know, say, you touch the stove, it's going to burn you. We say to them, don't run out into the street. The car will run over you. Or sometimes we tell them, hey, why don't you go play on that yellow line real quick? I need a break. No. We tell our kids, don't do that. And then for those of us who believe the Bible way of discipline, we take the Board of Education and apply it to the seat of understanding if they don't obey. Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs, not Spock, right? And you take that discipline action with your children, and a lot of times it absolutely is the fear of a parent. It is the fear that a child will have for his parent that will keep that child in the way they should go. By the way, parents, kids, may not tell you this, but kids want boundaries. Put some boundaries down and stick to it. Can I tell you that if you think about the key with kids, what is the key with kids? Key is love, T-I-M-E, spend time with them. But just right down there second is consistency. Set the boundaries and stick to it. Don't move them all the time. And the way you keep a child when they're small, the way you keep a child when they're small in line, the way you keep a child from rebelling when they're small and keep them on the right track is through fear. Primarily. And the second one comes in as well, love, of course. But that Board of Education, the seat of understanding, many times will deter a child from doing things otherwise they may want to do. Amen. Getting a little keyed up this morning. Motivation. What is the motivation for a child minding? What's the motivation for a teenager staying on the right track? Love and fear. And as they're younger, fear plays a larger role. As they get older, listen, as they get older and they get that teenage years, love better kick in. Or it won't matter how hard you discipline them. Hello? No matter how many times you apply the Board of Education or stick them in a corner or ground them to their room, love has to kick in. Because now they're big, you know. Right? Now they're big. The voices have changed. Now look how big they are, you know. All dressed pretty. Very handsome this morning. And at this point, at that age, 13, 14, 15, 16, love has to kick in at some point. Or they'll rebel. You say, preacher, what are you I'm saying, in the Christian life, it's the same way. When I first accepted Christ as my Savior, I loved the Lord, and I want to do everything for Him, and most of us experience that, and sometimes that begins to wane, and at some point, fear does kick in. I could tell you right now, I tithed as a young person because my dad told me to, number one. But I tithed as a young person, number two, because I really believe Malachi says that if you don't tithe, your money will be cursed. I believe that. Sometimes it's a fear of God and what will happen that motivates us to do what He says we should do. Now, as we grow in the Lord, as we grow and begin to process the things that God has given us in His Word, our motivation should get to the point where our motives for serving Him, our motives for doing what He wants us to do is motivated out of love. And I know you get tired of hearing it, but such a great example. If my dad called today and said, hey, I need you up here today, I would do it, number one, because he asked me to, but my reason for doing it wouldn't be because I fear him. I don't fear for my dad. I can whoop him anytime I want. Yeah. Just don't tell him I said that, Brother Summers. My dad's in better shape than I am. Some of y'all have seen him. But I love him. And therefore, if he tells me he needs something or... In fact, I'll share something personal. The other day, I was speaking to him and I said, Dad, I want to remind you that if you need something, you need to tell me. And he always saying to me, son, you're busy, and son, you're this. And I said, I want to remind him. I said, I told Papa back years ago, my dad's dad, if you need me, you call me. I will come. If you need me, if you really need me, if you need to come and build a fence, I need to exercise anyway. If you need me to come work, I need the physical exercise. I just said, hey, if you need me, just say you need me. Just say it. Say, I need you up here this date. I'll make it happen. Why? Why would I do that? Because I love him. I love him. I love the Lord and our motivation for service. In other words, as we grow in the Lord, it should not be, I have to go to church. But sometimes in our Christian walk it is. Sometimes we're motivated to do what the Lord's asked us to do because we know we should. And we're motivated not only out of fear, but out of that necessity, knowing that that's the command of God. But I'm telling you, there should be a time in your Christian life when you get to the point where you are doing it because you want to. You don't teach a class because your pastor asked you to. At some point, it should be because I want to teach a class. The Lord has told me, and it shouldn't be because I tithe because I have to. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and give as unto the Lord. As we go along in our Christian life, if we are growing in the Lord, one of the signs, one of the characteristics of growing in the Lord, that we are truly growing, is our motivation for service changes from fear to love. Just as it does in our physical earthly life and in our parental life with our parents. See, a growing Christian who's motivated out of love will want to go to church, will want to give, will love godly music, will love glorifying God, not because they fear Him, but because they love Him. By the way, a lot more can be accomplished with people who are motivated by love than you can accomplish with people who are motivated by fear. I don't know about you, but when my kids want to do something, we get a lot more done than we do with my kids when I tell them they have to do something. You know, if they want to go do something on the four-wheeler or on whatever, and I say, well, you've got to clean the garage out first or something, if I motivate them that way and they want to get it done, it happens a lot quicker. Everyone with me? So, as teachers, when we say you have to come out for visitation, when we say as teachers you have to do these certain things, sure, there'll be sometimes you say, well, I know I have to do these things, and if we're not careful, we get into a predicament where we say, well, this is what the preacher's told me to do, and this is what I have to do, and this is how I'm serving, and our motivation will be all wrong. Boy, let's be careful about our motivation. Loving God. Can I tell you that loving God, number one, starts with salvation? Very simple. Very simple as we move along. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, and He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That what? Those who come to Him, those who receive Him, become the sons of God. I'm glad today that I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. We are children of God. And that through God's love, through His eternal love, He has placed us into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel along. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. Amen? I'm a part of the family of God. God in His eternal love has placed us into the family of God. Can I tell you that true love begins with God? I've said this in the pulpit many times, that a real love is only experienced after salvation. There's someone who does not have the new nature. Someone who has never experienced salvation cannot genuinely understand love in its ultimate sense. That true love is experienced after you're saved, after the new nature comes, and after the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, and gives you that selfless nature. Hello? And that allows us and establishes within us a want to live for others and do for others. The Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fears. And that we love Him because He first loved us. God loved us with an eternal love. And God loves us with an unconditional love. We love Him because He first loved us. I said this again Wednesday night, I believe, that you know, our love, God's love for us is not conditioned upon what we do. There was a day, there was a time when some preachers would stand at the pulpit and say, do this, 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 and this, and God will love you. And can I tell you that that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God loves you today, He loves you yesterday, He'll love you tomorrow. And that His love is unconditional, that it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Aren't you glad of that? We don't believe in performance-based Christianity. By the way, because it's not biblical. And that is, I don't read my Bible because I have to. I read my Bible because I love the Lord and I want to. I mean, you should get to the point in your Christian life where that is what you experience. A love on the part of the Lord. He loves you this morning. And are you saved? Have you experienced salvation? Again, this first step in the process of loving God is the experience of salvation. To know that you have eternal life. To know and experience the unconditional love of God. And that's only found by way of trusting in Him. Believing that He lived, that He died, and He rose again. Repenting of your sins. Has there been a day, has there been a point in your life when you have personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'll say it this way. Has there been a point in your life, a time in your life, when you personally accepted the love of God? Amen. Has there been a time? If not, today should be the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Boy, in order to get saved today. As we think about the love of God, we think about, again, it starts with salvation and it's continued with identification. It says, then they that gladly received His word. In other words, this great crowd, about 3,000 of them, received the word of God. It was implanted in them by the Holy Spirit and they accepted the word of God and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and they got saved. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. The next step, or the continuation in the identification with our Lord Jesus Christ, is baptism. Baptism, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a portable baptistry. Some of our visitors ask, where do y'all baptize at? We have a portable fiberglass baptistry. We roll it in here, roll it right over here, and we baptize people right here. It's awesome. And so we put them in this little baptistry. They walk down in it. There's a little seat in it. They sit down. And then when I get ready, we baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a person is baptized, they are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I'm glad today that I've been identified with Christ. Well, the Bible says that if you're saved, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be ashamed of it. I tell people that all the time. If you truly accepted Christ as your Savior, it shouldn't be any kind of hesitation in following the Lord in believer's baptism. I want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've gotten saved. I've experienced the love of God. And absolutely, that's where it starts. And loving God by Him, He loves me, I love Him. And then I'm identifying with Him by way of baptism. I am expressing my love to Him by following His commands. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm identifying with Him by way of baptism. I want to again remind you that baptism does not picture the washing away of sins. And neither does baptism wash away anybody's sins. That it's merely a picture. That it's simply a picture. An important picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is by grace through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus and His works. But identifying with Him is a part of that growth in loving God. You're expressing your love to Him. That continued identification with the doctrines of the apostles, the doctrines of this body of believers. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Gladly then, Listen, again, there should be no hesitation in identifying with Christ. I'm glad. I'm happy. I rejoice in identifying with Him. Not by force, but willingly identifying with Him. Gladly identifying with Jesus. Baptized publicly as a testimony to Him. Went to a wedding last night, and that was awesome. All I could think about with Casey was, back when she would have been, whatever, like 8 or 9 years old, we went to a pastor's house, Brother Jernigan's house, for youth camp and for junior camp. And the girl that got married last night, who's 24, I believe, we sang on the way down to Troop, Texas, in East Texas, in an old yellow bus that would only go 50 miles an hour. That was some kind of ride. We sang the song, "It is a song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend." Some people started singing it not knowing what it was, but they'll continue singing it forever just because it is a song that doesn't end. And then you just continue to sing it. It is a song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Some people start, y'all don't care, do you? All I thought as she was getting married was her and I singing that thing for 5 hours. She'd stop it for a minute and I'd start singing it. Or I'd stop for a minute and she'd start singing it. And there was like 12 other of those little bitty kids on that bus. We had a good time. As I think about last night and them taking those wedding rings again, taking the wedding ring, and you, those of you married here this morning, put that wedding ring on, symbolizing your love for your spouse. You know, the ring is round for a reason. Can I tell you, as you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, as you identify with Him gladly and not forcefully but willingly, you're showing your love for Him, and you're identifying your love for Him, that you are publicly displaying that relationship you have with Him. Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And unto them, that added unto them is the church, by the way. The church was established in the Gospels. The church did not begin on the day of Pentecost. There's no birthday candles in Acts chapter 2. The church began in the Gospels. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus Christ established His church. Let me say it again. John the Baptist, who came 6 months prior to Jesus Christ, gathered the materials together, began to baptize and see people get saved. And when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." And the Bible says that many of John's disciples began to follow Jesus. That the disciples of John were simply the building's material for Jesus Christ to establish His church. And that Jesus Christ, even in Mark chapter 6, He called out of them His apostles. That out of them was the church. The church was already in place. And Jesus Christ established His church. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. What a marvelous thing that would have been. And those 3,000 people got saved, and they got baptized, and they were added to the church. Not only did they publicly identify with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection by way of baptism, but they were included in the membership of the local church, of that church. Again, we think about some who say, you've probably heard this, "Well, I don't believe in organized religion." Oh, yeah? Really? Jesus did. Now, not religion as a set of rules per se, but He definitely believed in the church. Because He started it. He established it. He founded it. And most of the New Testament is about it. Over half the New Testament is about the church. And if Jesus Christ did not intend for us to be identified with Him in baptism and included in the membership of the church, He wouldn't have founded the church. He wouldn't have started the church. He wouldn't have said, Paul wouldn't have said in Ephesians, that the wife is to love the church even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus Christ loved the church. He established and founded the church and gave his life for the church. And for someone to go around saying, well, I don't believe in organized religion, or I'm simply going to have church in my house, that is hypocrisy. Well, we can just do it on our own. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. No, you don't. When you decide to worship the Lord in your own way, you're disobeying him. Therefore, you are not right with God. I don't believe in organized religion. What a bunch of hooey. They just don't want to be accountable. Or they've gotten hurt somewhere. And so because they got hurt at some church and somebody hurt them, now it has caused their relationship with the Lord to go to decrease and not increase. Listen, churches are not perfect. This church is not perfect. If you stay here long enough, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. If you stay here long enough, I'm going to hurt your feelings. Listen, churches aren't perfect. Don't allow someone or something to lessen your love for the church that Christ established. We ought to love the church. And when there's something wrong in it, we ought to pray for it. And certainly we shouldn't leave it. We should stay there and pray for it. Pray for those who are causing the problems or whatever the case is. The New Testament Gospels are about Christ, but in the background you see Christ establishing his church. Again, he died for this church. As we think about this continual growth as Christians, and this love for God is seen by way of salvation, the love for God is seen by way of baptism. I hope today you've been baptized. If you haven't been scripturally baptized, you should be, because that's showing your love for God. And then your love for God is shown by way of you identifying with the local church, being a part of the church. And then lastly, the love for God is not only seen by way of salvation and by way of our identification with him in baptism and membership of the church, but it's seen also cultivated through our worship of him. And I'm done now. This is simple stuff here you've heard a thousand times. That in order for us to show our love for God, our relationship with him must be cultivated. And it's cultivated individually, personally. We see in Luke that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus worshiping him. In other words, we as Christians should be daily feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ by way of his word. That our relationship with the Lord only grows through our feeding upon his word personally and collectively. Are you developing a relationship with the Lord? If you were to take and score yourself, and you were to say, listen closely, and I'm done now. If you were to say, my marriage from 1 to 10, what would it be? My marriage is a 8, or my marriage is a 7, or my marriage is a 6. Whether you've been married 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, where would you gauge your marriage? Hopefully it's a 8 or 9. I don't think anybody's got a 10. If it is, you haven't arrived, by the way. Always room for improvement. But in the Christian life, where would you score? Really, where do you think you're at in your Christian life on a scale of 1 to 10? A 4, a 3? How's your personal relationship with the Lord? How's your personal walk with him? We must cultivate. And that love of God is cultivated through personal worship. It's also cultivated through collective worship. In other words, that we come together as a church and we worship him together, as we've done this morning, singing praises to him, singing hymns and spiritual songs to him, giving our tithe and our money to him, praying to him, that we as a church collectively encourage each other and hear the word of God preached from the pulpit. Collectively, we pray. Collectively, we sing. In order to cultivate our love for the Lord. We must collectively meet together and worship Him together. The Bible makes that very clear. Hebrews chapter 10 says we're not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but that we should meet the more so much day as we see the day approaching. And can I tell you that we, as a church, collectively worshiping Him, impacts you personally. You coming to church and hearing the message preached and the Holy Spirit touching your heart, that's impacting you. That's cultivating you, helping you grow in your love for the Lord. In other words, as you come to church, having already spent time in prayer, having already had your daily devotional time, already had those things, that you come to church to experience breakfast, lunch, and supper. Or in the country, it would be breakfast, dinner, and supper, for those of you raised right. In other words, I come to church to get a meal. And yes, we enjoy fellowshipping around here and feeding the physical body, but can I tell you, coming to church and get your spiritual body fed is important. It's important. It's important. Dr. Lee Robertson used to have a saying, three to thrive. Three to thrive. Three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive, three to thrive. Can I tell you, as a Christian, if you want to thrive, if you want to mature and grow as a Christian, three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive. You need three meals. You need three meals. You need some balanced meals. Come to church every once in a while, the preacher will step on your toes. Come the next evening, he may just preach on something, the love of God or whatever. I mean, a vast array of different messages and different experiences to feed and to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Are you loving the Lord with God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind this morning? Well, it starts at salvation. It's continued through baptism and being a member of His church, and is cultivated through personal devotional time, spending time with the Lord yourself. And is cultivated through public worship of us worshiping together. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at in your Christian life? Are you 6? Are you 5? Are you 4? Maybe you're at a 5 and you say, well, I'm okay with that. Well, would you be okay with a 5 in your marriage? Maybe you would be. I don't know. I'm not. I'm not satisfied with that. I want to be all I can for the Lord. I want to love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And with all my strength, because why? What's my motivation? Because I love Him. I love Him because of what He did for me. He gave His life for me. That I might not have to spend time in hell, and that I might have a home in heaven. That my sins can be forgiven now, and I don't have to live a life without hope. But I live a life of hope and purpose. Let's all stand. Hymn 153. Loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Again, if you were to grade yourself as to where you're at in your relationship with the Lord and in your love for Him, what grade would you give yourself? Maybe you want to come down this morning and just say, Lord, I want to love You more. Lord, I haven't had personal devotion in a while. I just want to come and reestablish it. Lord, I haven't joined a church. Maybe you'd love to come and join our church this morning. Maybe you've never been baptized, scripture baptized. Maybe this morning you want to come and get baptized. Present yourself for baptism. Whatever your need is, you come after we pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love and Your mercy and grace You've extended to us. We thank You not only for love, but for unconditional love and eternal love that You had for us. We do pray this morning for someone here who does not know You as personal Savior. They might accept You today. Maybe there's someone here who's gotten hurt, or Lord, they just have backslid some. I pray, God, that You would just touch their hearts this morning as only you can. That, Lord, they would see their need to continue to follow you and continue to love you more. Lord, help us to be motivated by love and not fear. God, I pray this morning for your will and your way. In Jesus' name.